experimental. Dance and pop musics collage together with your mind on time. Tonight, we're opening those neural floodgates. The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the audio arena, the radio drone. I had a brain tumor, and I had hallucination visions. I thought the visions caused the tumor and not the reverse. I had hallucination visions, not the reverse. Then things got all cagey. Welcome to the chill room.
It seems to me that we are all moving in many directions at the present time, and that each one who is conscientious in his work and in his life must answer for himself the question why he does what he does. In the middle 40s, I became involved in answering the question, why do I write music? In college, and through most of my experience in society, I had the notion that an artist did what he did because he had something to say to other people. But I noticed that composers were most of them all writing in different ways, that frequently I misunderstood what another composer was saying simply because I had little understanding of his language. And I found other people misunderstanding what I myself was saying when I was saying something pointed and direct. For instance, during World War II, being still interested in my conception of beauty and wanting in my work to concentrate my attention and therefore my listeners' attentions on the beautiful, it struck me that beauty had gone out of all things large and big in society and was confined to relations between those in love and those in friendship. And yet, when seeing love disappear, I wrote a piece called The Perilous Night, speaking in it of things that one might associate with anguish. I found people hearing this music in terms of a woodpecker in a church belfry. It struck me that even though I was doing my best to speak in my music, that I was not being understood. And so I began to question whether or not I should continue writing music in a society where people going in many different directions, speaking different languages, we were, I thought, in a Tower of Babel situation. At this very time, an Indian musician came from India. Her name was Geeta Sarabhai. She was concerned over the influence that Western music was having on the traditions of Indian music. And she studied with a number of people in a concentrated fashion for 6 months. She studied counterpoint and a survey of contemporary music with me. She studied, I believe, harmony with Arthur Berger. She studied musicology, I think, with Kurt Sachs. I asked her what her teacher had said was the purpose of music. At the same time, another composer with whom I was closely associated at the time, Lou Harrison, was also concerned to discover why we were writing music. The Indian musician told me that her teacher had said the purpose of music is to sober and quiet the mind, thus making it susceptible to divine influences. Lou Harrison found an English composer, I forget in which century, but as late as the 17th, saying the purpose of music is to sober and quiet the mind, thus making it susceptible to divine influences. I deduced that if this answer came from two such separate points in space and time, that it was true, at least it was going to be true for me. So I set out to find the answer to two questions. What is a sober mind, and what are divine influences? Now this takes us far away, I grant, from the criticisms that you have read about my work. But I give them and don't give answers to those others simply in order to let you know what I'm doing.
I understand. You, in other words, the problem as to whether or not your music becomes part of some sort of liberal power at the center of our lives, as Mailer puts it, sort of theatrically in a way, doesn't really, is not really a relevant question.
Well, actually, I don't understand what Mailer says. His language seems to me so ornamented that I don't perceive the thought in it. I perceive only a kind of encrusted language. Now, I don't know what he's saying. If you can translate it into clear, simple English, do.
Well, something that, well, it becomes John Cage when it burns in love-loaded words here. Intolerance of passion, mental health. These are the things that...
But I don't understand this intolerance of passion. What does that mean?
Well, passion is intolerable, I suppose.
Das Denken, du bist jetzt historisch. Die Gemengelage liegt am Ende. Ich blute. Irgendwas ist immer. Ich gehe jetzt. Kann mich an den Schnitt nicht mal erinnern. Ich gehe jetzt. Es wird wies warm. Zeit, dass die Erde sich endlich verspinnt, sich verabschiedet. verwandelt, aus der Hülle sprengt. Ich geh jetzt, ich geh jetzt, ich geh jetzt.
Seven, four, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126,
parents. Well, I think he was using John Cage in Silence, as he puts it, as a kind of a manifestation of a symptom of the syndrome, almost.
What
syndrome? Sort of the John Cage in Silence, what he calls, yes, John Cage in Silence. He links it up with a type of the liberal establishment that he calls it, which is sort of ruining us, which is killing us, so to speak.
Well, I have the reverse hope that, though I am going to die, as all of us, I'm on the side of life. Hmm?
Okay. Now, about Steinberg says you're abdicating your responsibilities as a composer. Now, this, I know, it's, yes, been often leveled.
But that's perhaps what set me off on that,
yes,
long story.
Yeah, I think that
because
answered.
I think the my responsibility is not to have something to say, but rather, first of all, to sober and quiet my mind, making me susceptible to divine influences, and second, through my music, to perhaps let that happen for other people.
Okay, I think that takes care of that. In your book called Entitled Silence, a book which I hope all our listeners will try to get a hold of and read just for its really exhilarating stories and even poetry, I'd like to come back to that later, literary aspects, but in this book you make the point at one point that people are afraid to give up Bach. I think I'm paraphrasing it, but they're afraid to give up Bach, to give up order in music, in other words, because, as you put it, what would they have left? Yet I wonder, isn't this beside the point? After all, a work of art orders and embodies musical feelings, and the more meaningful and the more emotionally moving music of any particular time derives these moving feelings seem to derive from just this ordering, except, of course, in the case of a traditionally oriented improvisational type of musical experience, such as the Indian Raga. To be quite blunt, as you have allowed the pianist in your piano concerto to choose at random musical phrases and sounds, and thus forfeiting your control over the development of an imaginative musical idea, how can we qualitatively even begin to compare your concerto with, say, Schoenberg's magnificent work in the same genre?
Mm.
I wonder if that's a fair question.
Yes. You want to know whether you can compare these two things, and...
Qualitatively, yes.
Well, those are two things I'm not particularly interested in. That is to say, I'm not particularly interested in quality, and I'm certainly not interested in comparisons between things. I think that we gain in awareness by seeing each thing in its own terms, and I think that if we think in terms of quality, that means that we are comparing the work which we experience with standards which represent our prejudices. Now, if we can somehow empty our minds of those prejudices, then we possibly can approach our experience, whether it is in or outside art, for what it is, that is to say, directly. The reason it would be almost pointless to compare my work with that of Schoenberg is that we are working in the works are made in entirely different ways. As I see it, Schoenberg was still involved in the making of an object in time, with relationships within that object, so that there is a whole, and that whole has parts, and they are subjected to organization. I'm not working with that problem. In those terms, I'm working with disorganization. I'm not making objects. I'm involved in showing processes.
Well, would you say then, in a way, you might be placing, transferring the understanding, let's say, of a piece on the person, of course, but aren't you also transferring what would seem to me to be an objective basis of quality onto the saying that it's my personal problem, let's put it this way, that it might be my personal problem that I cannot understand or accept your piano concerto in the same way I accept Schoenberg's. Yet to me, it seems that the Schoenberg piece is moving every time I hear it in many levels in terms of its innocence, its gaiety, its deep mysticism, mm-hmm. its almost sexual excitement in a way. I mean, you're saying that it is my fault, almost, my lack of understanding.
No, not your fault. It's just that you could enrich your experience by being able to see one thing as being an object with all these benefits that you have mentioned now coming to you from it. But if you use a different attitude toward my work or that of another composer, it just might be that you would find other things coming to your experience through it.
Yes, I see. I see. I do admire very much the Fontana mix with aria, but I do not admire very much the piano concerto.
Mm. Well, there are people who do, though. And they speak, for instance, when they speak of enjoying it, they speak of their experiences in nature. Peter Yates has compared listening to the piano concerto with his experience of looking at the star in the night sky. Now, no one can deny the delight of having the emotions you spoke of a little bit ago. Also, no one can deny the pleasure of looking at the night sky.
Yes, but the emotions of that a piece of music should give you at the highest level really should have no relevance to any type of natural phenomenon, it seems to me.
On the contrary, you say that a piece of music should give us emotions. That's
yes.
Already something that can be questioned. And particularly what emotion? Let me list the emotions of traditional Indian aesthetic. They are four white, four black, and one in the center, which is compulsory. The four white ones are humor, wonder, the erotic, and the heroic. And the heroic is seen not as conquering one's opponent, but rather as accepting one's experience.
He married his market chief by foul, I know, but any Assyrian Catholic even, in their pinky living, it seems very in their public things, but a gifted man, and all the world, he's a very good man, he's a very good man, he's a very good man, and the world, if you mean, you're a man, be. Northmen's king made south folks place, but how much these orators make each one in person, Latin me that, me Trinity scholar, out of your Sanskrit into our Aryan. Hircus civis eblanensis, he had buckled taps on him, soft ones for orphans. Oh, Lord, twins of his bosom, Lord, save us. And hope, for all men, hot, his tittering daughters of walk, stand here with the waters of the chittering waters of glittering bats, field mice, bark, talk. Oh, are you not gone a home? What, Tom Malone? Stand here with bark of bats, all the listening waters of.
Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
encourages markets chased by foul or no, any Asturian Catholic even, and does think he will receive the burning of public and the mercy, and all the following, that is Auto Vehicle Auxiliary Hall. And the one.
So where are you? You're in some motel room. You wake up and you're in a motel room. There's the key. It feels like it's the first time you've been there, but you might have been there a week, three months perhaps. It's hard to say. It's just an anonymous room. Lenny! It's Leonard. Like I told you before. Did you? I must have forgot. I guess I've already told you about my condition. Well, only every time I see you. It's not good to make fun of somebody's handicap. Oh, just trying to have a little fun. Where to, Sherlock?
1 a.m. Kill Radio, Los Angeles.
Why do you want to go there? I don't remember. Don't believe his lies. He is the one. Kill him. You're going to pay for what you did. You'll beg forgiveness and then you'll pay. You don't have a clue, you freak. Beg my wife's forgiveness before I blow your brains out. You don't know what's going on. You don't even know who I am. You don't even know my name. Teddy. That's because you read it off a fucking picture. An anonymous room. Nothing in the drawers but a Gideon Bible, which I, of course, read religiously. It's hard to know who you are. You kind of know all about yourself. Notes are really useful. You really do need a system if you're going to make it work. I'm not too good on the phone. I like to look people in the eye when I talk to them. It's my memory. It's different from amnesia. I have no short-term memory. I know who I am. I know all about myself. It's just that since my injury, I can't make new memories. Everything fades. If we talk too long, I'll forget how we started, and the next time I see you, I won't remember this conversation, or if I've met you before. I've told you this before, haven't I? It's like I just woke up. How long have I been staying here? You learn to trust your own handwriting. You say we talked before? I don't remember that. Ever since my injury, I can't make new memories. Me? Yeah, I got a reason. She has also lost someone. She will help you out of pity. Natalie, you don't remember me. I'm sorry, I should have explained. You see, I have this condition. You did explain. Only every time I see you. I'm sorry I don't remember you. It's nothing personal. I do have information for you. Guess what name came up? Are you sure you want this? Did I tell you what this man did? Yes, but even if you get revenge, you're not going to remember it. You're not going to even know that it happened. My wife deserves vengeance. Doesn't make any difference whether I know about it. Just because there are things I don't remember, it doesn't make my actions meaningless. Maybe I'll take a photograph to remind myself. No, don't just recite the words. Close your eyes and remember her. I go on facts, not recommendations, thank you. Lenny, you can't trust a man's life to your little notes and pictures. Why not? Because your notes might be unreliable. Memories unreliable. Oh, please. Ask the police.
Eyewitness testimony is unreliable. Cops don't catch a killer by sitting around remembering stuff. They collect facts. They make notes. Memory can change the shape of a room. It can change the color of a car. Memory is just an interpretation. It's not a record. He killed my wife. He took away my fucking memory. Wake. Where am I? Somebody's bedroom. Oh, must be her room. But who is she? Do you think we could just arrange a meeting now? See, I'm not too good on the phone. Something doesn't feel right. I think someone's fucking with me to try to get me to kill the wrong guy. Did you? Of course not! Trust yourself. Trust your own judgment. You can never know anything for sure. No! There are things you know for sure, such as... I know what this will sound like when I hit it. I know what that's going to feel like when I pick it up. See? Certainties. I can remember so much. She's gone, and the present is trivia, which I scribble down as fucking notes. I lie here, not knowing how long I've been alone. How am I supposed to heal if I can't heal time? I'm not reading this to annoy you. I enjoy it. So let me be, please. I did exactly what you told me to do. You don't have a fucking clue, do you? You're just blissfully ignorant, aren't you? I have this condition. I know all about your fucking condition. You don't have a fucking clue about anything else. I'm not gonna kill someone for money. What then for? Love? What would you kill for? Don't talk about my wife. I can talk about whatever I want. I can say whatever I want, and you won't remember. I can call your wife a fucking whore, and we'll still be friends. I can say whatever I want, and you won't have an effing clue, you effing retard! I read about your condition, Leonard. You know what one of the causes of short-term memory loss is? Venereal disease. Maybe your cunt of a wife sucked one too many diseased cocks and turned you into a retard. Gotta find a pen. Gotta write this down. Concentrate. Gotta write it down. Stay focused. Keep it in mind. Come on, concentrate. What happened? I have to believe in a world outside my own mind. I have to believe that my actions still have memory, even if I can't remember them. I have to believe that when my eyes are closed, the world's still there. Believe the world's still there? Is it still out there? Yes. We all need memories to remind ourselves of who we are. Now, where was I?
consciousness of tomorrow's mind. You feel yourself rising slowly and yet falling down upon shattered dreams. Crystal sights are shattered and distorted by reality's truth. As tomorrow is gone, you are cleansed. You are cleansed. You are cleansed. You are cleansed. You will never hear distortion.
Largely missing from the enjoyment of so-called classical European music because of its constantly moving toward climaxes. But tranquility is not missing from the enjoyment of the night sky.
It would sort of, you could compare it analogically to a whirlpool with the calm spot in the center. That'd be a fair comparison. The whirlpool always has a calm spot in the center.
That's very good.
I was wondering, in regard to this, Stravinsky, I know you've, I think you've answered this just now, but, well, I'd like to ask you this anyway. Quote, at least, Stravinsky's comment in Poetics. He says, "All music being nothing but a succession of impulses and repose, it is easy to see that the drawing together and separation of poles of attraction in a way determine the respiration of music." Now, it's implied that you do not agree with that. You agree this is so of traditional Western music, but you don't think this is necessarily inherent in any musical experience, even even when not consciously attempted.
No. For me, the basic musical experience is the absence of music. Let me clarify that statement. I mean to say that wherever anyone is, if he simply listens to ambient sounds, disorganized as they are in his environment, not moving from repose to activity.
Well, he says succession of impulses and repose.
Yes, not moving in a linear fashion from one sound to another, but coming from the total space around one, wherever he is. This experience of sound that is available to everyone is for me the basic music which I simply interrupt when I put sounds into it.
Sensory jump, mental motor integration activities, cortex of higher mental reactions, research memory within temporal lobe, deeper thoughts are selected. She said I was her finest lover, fractional judgments and misses, bulb-like dominant hemispheres, biological masterpieces, enemies of love. Taking place in their surroundings, profound and subtle environmental changes, calculated, deliberate and critical, intricate, permanent effects, life process, endless interdependent factors. Efficient systems, balancing act, homeostasis, our body is the way of profound organism, free-flowing bloodstreams, monitored emotional response. Despite exactly uncertain century scientist information acquired, loosely defined brain changes, memory experience, stored recall engram. Retrieved whenever needed, selective long-term estimates entering, unexplained data captured, overwhelmed feature even details, retained experience lost, short-term evidence, electrical and chemical occurrences, reverberating neuronal theory circuits, nerve impulse stimulates. 1, 2, 3. Easy is one formed circuit. Long reverberation continues, neurons stimulated, inactive, anatomical changes, age grow, new endings, thinning visual area. RNA. RNA synthesis precedes protein synthesis. Neurons and synapses communicate. Long memory chemical exchange. NMDA receptors open channels permit the inflow. Neurotransmitters process formation of a memory. All made up of memory bursting before me like a radioactive popsicle in a dark room. Keiji, on the Chill Room, on Kill Radio, in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
you have any literary plans of this sort for the future? Not so much in terms of the lectures, which I'd be interested in, but also in terms of some of the stories, which really people don't know very well, and which seem so simple in a way and so naive, yet there's something that happens after they're read.
Well, from time to time, I continue writing those stories. In the book, there are about 90, and altogether I've written around 180, perhaps 200. Now and then I write another one.
Do you consider yourself a writer of any particular sort? Because it seems to me that, they're so closely intertwined, all these ideas you've been talking about, and the way they appear in print and the way they sound, so to speak.
Well, I've written a book, so I must be a writer. Good one. I just do what I do. I don't so much consider myself a writer. Now and then I write.
Okay. Well, I don't know really what else. There are some other things I want to ask you. Yeah, someone wanted to... I won't reveal the name, but they wanted to ask you a question, and it seems rather cute, but the question was, does time fly? I wondered if you'd want to answer that.
Well,
I think it's a half-serious question, in fact.
Yes. The question of time is one which interests me more and more. When we measure it, time is a kind of constraint. This business that we so often do, not only in our music, but in our lives, that is to say, enslave ourselves to getting to particular points in space, at particular points in time, is one which I am working now to free myself from. For the last 10 years, my compositions are performed with the aid of stopwatches. And the whole business of performing them has been more or less like catching trains. The last two compositions, one which I wrote in this last fall in Japan, is called 0 minutes, 0 seconds. It's written in such a way that it could also be read 0 feet, 0 inches. That follows from my feeling of our present living, not in space and time, but in space-time. Our other one is Variations 3. In both of those pieces, no stopwatch is used. Now, when we don't measure time, does it fly, as you say, or does it stand still? I don't really know the answer to this question, but that is what is engaging my deepest interest this year, and perhaps for years to come.
Yeah. tu souviens-tu du film de Gainsbourg? Je t'aime. Je t'aime, moi non plus. Un joli thème. Hey, Johnny Jane, toi qui prends tes baskets et tes yeux candides dans les No Man's Land et les lieux sordides. Hey, Johnny Jane, les décharges publiques sont des Atlantides que survolent les mouches quand t'arrives. Hey, Johnny Jane, tous les camions à peine viennent t'y déverser bien des peines infanticides. Hey, Johnny Jane, tu balades tes cheveux courts, ton teint livide à la recherche de ton amour suicide. Hey, Johnny Jane, du souvenir veux-tu trancher la carotide à coups de pied dans les conserves vides. Oh, Johnny Jane, le beau camion à peine te transporter de bonheur en bonheur sous les cieux limpides. Hey, Johnny Jane, ne fais pas l'enfant, ne sois pas si stupide. Regarde les choses en face et sois lucide. Hey, Johnny Jane, efface tout ça, recommence liquide de ta mémoire ces brefs instants torrides. Hey, Johnny Jane, un autre camion à peine viendra te prendre pour t'emmener vers d'autres Florides. Hey, Johnny Jane, toi qui traînes tes baskets et tes yeux candides dans les No Man's Land et les lieux sordides. Hey, Johnny Jane, écrase d'un poing rageur ton œil humide. Le temps rouge, l'amour comme l'acide.
drawing, 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 drawing. The text I read a little while ago was Special Gray Matter by Jason Berthume. He emailed it to me and I read it. This is KG tonight on the Chill Room. The interview was with Jonathan Cott. It was from 1963 and was in San Francisco back then. And I don't think Cage would like what I'm doing because it's too closed in, too many things. But I'm examining the process as well. That was Einstürzende Neubauten did Perpetuum Mobile. Morton Subotnick did A Sky of Cloudless Sulfur. Damien Romero did Living Room. That was Asa Chang and June Ray doing Kutsu 3. Psych Out did Live and Let Die. We heard a sort of distorted reading of The Finnegan's Wake by Joyce with Cage talking about the night sky over it. The DJ song was by Go Home Productions and it was called Sub Music. We heard a little of the DJ Donna Summer doing Vibrations. Carson Day did Musique Morte. Kenneth Gaburo, we heard in the background some things from his Maledetto piece. That was Ultimate Spinach. I am falling into the recesses of my troubled mind. Peace, tranquility. Mind Flowers from Behold and See. Wreck did Cosmic Element. Bossiter and Hodgkinson did Juggled in Gravity. That was a backing vocal mix of Forget That Girl by the Monkees. The fucked up version of Baby You're a Rich Man was called Rich Boys and Girls by Down Home Productions. The song was the Ballade de Jean et Jane by Jane Birkin. And that was the Walker Brothers doing The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. Scott Walker. See, emotions themselves are totally formal. Longing, lust, love, hate, cruelty. The emotional states are formal. They're actually elements that you can use. They're not... They're not things that we create out in the receiver. They're not in the auditor. They're in the actual process itself. This that we're hearing is Cough Piece from 1962 by Yoko Ono, by the way. I didn't write that one down.
U.S. citizens are 6% of world's population, consuming 60% of world's resources. Had Americans been born pigs rather than men, it would not have been different. Finding one of them acceptable, people say, "You're not like an American." She said people she talked to about the global services and the notion services would bring about global living without war said, "Yes, of course, that's right, but how is it going to happen?" Deep drilling. A slight angle, and without meaning to, you're taking oil from under someone else's property. Eric Satie's Venetian gold merchant. He hugs the bag of gold, takes some pieces out, kisses them, carefully putting them back. After other financial erotic acts, not being able to resist, he gets into the bag, himself. Coming out of it somewhat later, he discovers he has a backache. We open our eyes and ears, seeing life each day excellent as it is. This realization no longer needs art, though without art it would have been difficult, yoga, zazen, etc., to come by. Having this realization, we gather energies, ours and the ones of nature, in order to make this intolerable world endurable.
Il est 7h du matin, faut se réveiller. Oh, je sommeille. Bon alors, un peu de musique pour se mettre en train. Je sais pas moi, quelque chose comme Talking about my generation. Ouais, c'est pas tout à fait ça. Je trouve plus ma brosse à dents. Quel passé celle-là encore. La bleue est à mon père, la rouge est à ma mère, la jaune est à mon frère. Vous avez pas vu ma brosse à dents? Tiens, on est lundi aujourd'hui. Ah, pour demain, j'ai un devoir d'anglais. J'aimerais bien avoir Paul McCartney pour m'aider. J'ai envie de mettre un 10 pour embêter les voisins qui roupillent toute la journée. Quelque chose comme un bon Elvis Presley. Oh, mais c'est vrai, celui-là, il en est resté. Un peu d'eau sur la figure pour me réveiller. Le dodo, c'est terminé. Je suis presque prête et ça va beaucoup mieux. Je mets mon Shetland rouge ou bien mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland rouge? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland bleu? Mon Shetland rouge? Non, mon Shetland bleu. Mon Shetland rouge?
That was Jacqueline Taïb and the song Set at the Matin from the Groovy Chicks compilation. And I figured that's as good a way to say goodnight from the chill room as possible. Keep listening to Kill Radio. Stay funky always. And also, stay tuned.